York. Stick it in your ear.
All right.
Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Hello, I'm Lisa Garr, and welcome to The Aware Show. What do these names mean to you? Prince, Whitney Houston, Marilyn Monroe. These are all American icons who really helped shape our culture. They have shaped our trends. They are representing a certain period in history. And there's really nothing more beloved than an icon. An American icon also can help guide us. They can teach us about life. We can learn from their mistakes. We can also learn about what is in the making? What's the ingredients behind an American icon? Why do they have such tragic lives? And really, what can we learn from how we idolize people? My guest is Nina Bosky, and she is a host and investigator of Good Night Marilyn, which is a podcast investigation series about Marilyn Monroe. She also is producing a TV docuseries that is around the investigation of Marilyn Monroe's death, and a feature film that is a thriller noir based on fact and fiction also around the last 3 days of Marilyn Monroe's life. I find this topic so fascinating because we are so enamored by celebrity and shaped by them. Let's find out some of the truth and some of the facts behind why we do this. Welcome, Nina. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, nice to be here, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Such a fascinating topic, and I'm even more fascinated about you and why you're so enthralled in this particular topic. Have you been a Marilyn fan your whole life?
Actually, no. However, I've been a Some Like It Hot fan all my life, but I really like Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis that wonderful. And I liked Marilyn Monroe, but I wasn't fascinated by her compared to a lot of the fans out there today. And I fell into the project, but Marilyn Monroe is an interesting kind of figure because once you start to learn about her, I think just anybody, you start to have a fascination, and she's very complex, and most people don't realize that about her. Certainly I didn't. I thought, you know, stereotypical ditzy blonde, and I thought that was who she was, actually, and I realized it's so far from who she was as a person.
So she passed in the 60s, right?
Yeah, 1962.
And she's still such a revered figure. First of all, why do you think that she has held that iconic status even despite her passing?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't think it's one dimensional. I think that you have a very famous movie star. And if you think about it in terms of today, if somebody passed away tragically and she was very linked to high profile political figures, it's a really great story to start to sensationalize. So I think you have that aspect that started from the very, very beginning. And then you have this element is that she's a very beautiful movie star. So she's very glamorous. But I think the one thing that has kept her alive in a lot of people's hearts is her vulnerability. You know, she was talking about things back in the 1950s and probably even the 40s, but definitely in the 50s, child abuse, civil rights, sexual abuse. You know, back in those times, I mean, it was father knows best. It certainly wasn't talking about and being at the forefront of some of these issues. And so in some ways, she was a very vulnerable type of human being. So if you could relate to that in your own life, and many of us can, we start to identify with her, not only just from her glamour, but also from the standpoint of her vulnerability and her willingness to be more truthful than most celebrities.
You quoted a lot of poems, the poetry that she wrote, and in the podcast and in some of the literature. How did you find the poetry? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so the poetry, there was a famous book called Fragments, and it's a book of poems from Marilyn Monroe. And a lot of people, so I want to just set the record straight. So if you see a tabloid that talks about, oh, I love JFK and I can't wait to be with him, that's not at all how she spoke and how she wrote. She was extremely bright, Lisa, and she was very deep. So the things that she would talk about are some of the most loneliest things that I think we can all identify at some point in our life. So she certainly was a deep, creative soul, and she wrote that way, as you can tell by some of the quotes and the poems that she's written.
Right. She does talk about loneliness and that you're basically alone at the end of the day, and it's kind of depressing the way that she wrote.
Yeah.
Did she have a history of mental illness?
She sure did. And I think, you know, without obviously diagnosing her today, but the speculation is that she had a dual diagnosis, maybe even a little bit more multidimensional, but she certainly, from her doctor reports, talk about that she, what is known today, they called it manic depressive back in the day, but it's bipolar known today. And then would have probably been diagnosed as a borderline personality with a lot of anxiety attached to it. So Marilyn, like a lot of creatives, really and truly was trying to find her way, and yet her family legacy is connected to a lot of mental illness. Her mom was mentally ill. Her grandparents' legacy definitely follows that. So she certainly had it in her chemistry. And then with all the trauma that she experienced as a child, that fragmentation certainly didn't help, you know, in terms of her early stages and foundation, because her dad did not totally disowned her. Her mom didn't really want her. And so when you think about coming into the world like that, and then having the fragmentation of orphanages and foster homes and being, you know, put into one house and then another, she certainly, she certainly had a lot of fragmentation and not a great start.
It's interesting because her bipolar diagnosis was not commonly in the tabloids, for sure. Neither was the fact that she was in foster care and orphanage and abandoned by both parents. And tell us a little bit about Marilyn's childhood and how she coped with that.
Yeah, so just to give a little frame up, so I started the investigation series on Marilyn's death with Goodnight Marilyn Radio. And then what happened is that's going to be turned into a TV docuseries. And so what we did is we started a dramatic podcast called BehindTheIcon.com, or Marilyn Behind the Icon, but you can go to BehindTheIcon.com, and it deals with all of her life. So we're dealing with her childhood. And I have to tell you, I've read a lot about Marilyn. But when you put a dynamic actress into playing Marilyn, who's played her before and has the essence of her, it's a little bit eerie in some ways, because you get to experience and imagine that type of trauma. And so when you look at her early childhood, she literally, her mom could not take care of her. So she would go back and forth every time her mom would get out of an institution, and she was institutionalized early.
Her mother was,
yeah. And she would have been known today as a schizophrenic, and was, certainly had, elements of delusions, and, tried to kill Marilyn when she was very, very young, like probably close to, about a year into her life. And so she, got taken away, and then her mom would get better, and she would try, she would really try to, create a home life for Marilyn, but it was never stable. So Marilyn had people that she was connected to. So Grace was, Grace Goddard was a person who was very dear and near to Marilyn in her early, stages, and would stay with her from time to time. But at certain points, they weren't able to keep her, so she would go to an orphanage, and she stayed there. And there's a famous story about, Marilyn looking out at RKO Studios, which is now, the Paramount lot, and her orphanage was blocks away from what is now Paramount Studios, and she'd look out and say, that vision of wanting to be, a movie star. And her favorite movie star in the whole wide world was Jean Harlow. So, if you think about Jean Harlow, died at 26, a platinum blonde. So, she certainly, had a determination very early on. And if you think about that kind of fragmentation, but she went, it's about 11 orphanages and foster homes that she was, sent back and forth throughout her childhood. There's also physical and sexual abuse that Marilyn endured. We know at least 1 to 2 times, if not more. So, and she writes about that in her own biography as well. So it's pretty traumatic. And if you think about not having a mom that is really there and stable for you, a dad that doesn't even own who you are, and she really just wanted to be loved like all of us. And I think that's what permeates, even today, because there's so many people that are looking for that in their own lives as well.
But they don't have that ingredients that makes this superstar. What was the, most people go into, drugs and abusive situations because they don't know any other way, but they don't really go and make that leap to superstardom. What was it?
I think that there is that it factor. I mean, the one thing that you will see if Marilyn comes into a room or she's on stage, she lights up a room. So I think you have that it factor, that essence of, who you are coming into this world. But I do think that what would happen is she'd be left alone for hours and hours. There's the scene in one of our episodes, I think it's episode 6, where we start talking about how she's starting to realize that she wants to be an actress. So what she would do is she would leave at, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning, and she wouldn't come home until 6 or 7 o'clock at night when it was dark. Nobody was looking for her at all. She wasn't eating. And she would go into the movie theaters and just watch movies. And she'd watch, actresses like Jean Harlow and Clark Gable. And she'd just fantasize about that was what she wanted to do at some point. There is a scene, where Marilyn, even today, has her famous handprints at the man's, I don't think it's the man's Chinese theater, but the one in Hollywood, right? The Grauman's, is it the Grauman's? What is it now? The Chinese theater. And, back then, she was already thinking about how she was going to become that movie star. And she had a determination, she had a visualization, and she had a resilience that you have to have if you're going to overcome that kind of trauma. I think the challenge, though, is that, she's this sweet little fragile, vulnerable, very sensitive soul. And in order to become Marilyn Monroe, kind of that sex symbol, she had to become something that she wasn't really innately. And so that becomes the challenge then with a personality like that as she starts to get older. She became, at some point, it was her freedom and her pass into another world. But then she became a prisoner of that character that she had created, and she couldn't get out of it.
So she was essentially raised by movies and
yes.
raised by the imagery of fame and success. And in so many of our youth these days are raised by influencers, and they see what it, if you ask a millennial what's their number one goal, it would be, it is to become an influencer.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they want that 15 minutes of fame, and it is so adorned by the media that it's, you know, it leads to money and fame and popularity and so forth. But they don't talk about the downside. I mean, a lot of these icons are in the series, the American Icon series, are childhood actors.
Yeah.
That were yeah. childhood actors that had all of that fame, and then it resulted in very, very sad lives because they could never recreate that.
It's so true. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to get across with the Marilyn story, because it's so over sensationalized. And if you think about it, you know, after this anniversary date, we're going into her 60th anniversary next year. And, you know, she's an icon that has 14 million Facebook fans, Lisa. And when you think about classic Hollywood, right, and you think about stars, if I were to say to, let's say, one of my interns, and I say, hey, you know, she's, you know, 23, do you know Tony Curtis? Do you know Jack Lemmon? No. Do you know Marilyn Monroe? Absolutely. So it's one of those things that you, she's probably more popular today than she was back in 1962. That's, and she's global. I mean, when I was doing my Goodnight Marilyn radio series, I mean, we got people from all over the world, from the Philippines and Africa and France. I mean, it is just amazing the type of global appeal that she still has today.
Is it because of being the sex symbol? Was it because of what she did? She represent femininity in a world where women were idolized? I mean, what?
Yeah, I think that, you know, today, I think of the buildup, you know, Marilyn's likeness. She didn't have a publicity clause in her death. And so I think that also you see a lot of commercials around her likeness and image, you know, where Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash and Michael Jackson, they're all tied to, you know, very, very strong, you know,
states.
Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, states, right? Mm-hmm. With her, you know, you have that, and you also have over time, it started to happen a little bit after her death, and then about 10 or 20 years after, the real stories of, oh, this is what happened, and the conspiracy theories. There's a lot around Marilyn's death that is unanswered, and it becomes a very difficult story, because if I go into a story, for example, wanting an agenda, and the agenda is I want it to be the Kennedys, or I want to prove that she was murdered, it becomes then my agenda is proving something that may or may not be true, and you can't connect all the dots, but you tell a really good story. What I found in looking at this, so Goodnight Marilyn, the feature film, is very much fact and fiction, and it's kind of like where we take the last 3 days of Marilyn's life, but it really isn't about her life. It's not a biography about her. It's a thriller noir and an ultimate. It's really a fun story about how, you know, two dreamers come to Hollywood and they want their dreams to come true. And everybody's dream in this movie is being threatened. And it really asks the question, how far would you go to make your dreams come true? And so when you think about the Marilyn story and the sensationalism of that, Marilyn's dream was being threatened, her life, you know, the Kennedy's dream in terms of power, right? So you have a lot of different elements that go into this story. So when you think about when I started Goodnight Marilyn Radio, I hadn't really known that much about Marilyn. I had just watched these biographies over the years. So to be quite frank, I went into it thinking it was the mob. I thought the mob killed her. That was my theory, right?
Right.
And so when you sit there and you start to unwrap this story and you start to realize that, wait a minute, what's the evidence around this? Let's take the belief out of it and just start to separate fact from fiction, probable theory from just outlandish rumor. And when you look at the story and the body of decades of books, biographies, you know, radio shows, now podcasts about her, it's been built upon a lot of rumor. So it sounds good. And now we're 60 years later. It's really hard to unwrap the truth. So, for example, I can be on somebody else's documentary as an expert, and then they have somebody else on the documentary that may be in very much in rumor. And so they piece together these stories, and it sounds really sensational, but it's not really the truth. And when I started to look at, you mean to tell me that's not the truth? That's just a rumor? I started to really think about, wow, this is a fascinating story, and how belief really sends a message to all of us that what I thought was true, and you were not going to take me off this notion that the mob hadn't killed her. It took time and time and time. And so even today, I can talk to somebody, and just 3 or 4 days ago, somebody came up to me and they said, oh, you know what? You cannot tell me that it wasn't the Kennedys. And I'm not attached to whether you think she was murdered or she committed suicide or anything in between. But I ask people, why do you feel that way? I just know it.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what's happened in this story. It's not a Whitney Houston, even a Michael Jackson that was a few years ago. Now you have story after story, and it's in the cultural makeup of how we think the story goes. And I think the story is so much more fascinating when you start to look at the truth. And I'll give you an example.
Yeah, I'd love to know is the truth? Where do you find facts?
So I'll give you an example. Just recently, and it's happened time and time again, it'll probably happen on her 60th. You'll see a tabloid that'll come out and say, Marilyn's red diary is now found. Well, she did have a red diary, and the red diary is a book of poems that she had that she gave to an actor that actually had it, that told people that it was a diary that Marilyn had created in terms of her relationship and affair with JFK. And when you start to look at what those book of poems are, basically what happened was it was an actor that was wanting to get fame, and he told the 1982 DAs at the time when they were doing an investigation that he just wanted publicity. And so he made up the story.
And so ever published? Was the diary ever published?
It's not a diary. It's a book of poems. So if you look at Marilyn's poems today, many of those poems are the ones that you probably see in fragments. So it wasn't a JFK diary at all. It was a book of poems that he had.
Too bad that was never published, her book of poems.
Well, it was. Fragments is her book of poems. So,
oh, okay, gotcha.
So the diary itself was not a diary that was anything to do with JFK. It was basically poems that he basically alleged that that's what it was because he wanted publicity. And it was probably, I don't know if he was an out of work actor, and I forget his name now. I want to say John something, but it's all in there in the DA report. But, you know, a lot of us don't go and do our research as it relates. And I probably wouldn't have either. If you think about, I had so much time to research this and I also have